This is the Teachable Soul Podcast. Because we cannot possibly live long enough to make all the mistakes ourselves, let's take a few moments to learn from the mistakes of others. The Teachable Soul Podcast, where guests and listeners like you share stories of failure and teachable moments on the journey to success. Here's your host, Kat Daniels.
So I just want to give you guys a little bit of context before this episode. I recorded this back in January when I first quit my job. And so what you're hearing basically is going to be information from back then. This right here is exactly the reason why I have started putting out two episodes a week until I get caught up, because I have actually amassed far more interviews than I probably should have. So teachable moment for anyone with a podcast, don't do that. It's more difficult to, you know, recover from, basically. So going forward, of course, I know now that I'll be scheduling interviews and putting them out roughly around the same time that I actually take the interview itself. So thank you all for continuing to listen and for your patience with me in this whole learning process. I really appreciate that anybody at all listens. I genuinely do. And I thank you guys so much. You guys can always find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter now, and LinkedIn at The Teachable Soul or The Teachable Soul on Twitter. And if you would like to help support the show, you can find me at patreon.com/theteachablesoul. I'll be trying to create some extra content there for you guys if you subscribe and, kind of interact with you. One of the things that I like least about podcasts is that I can't interact or ask questions to any of my listeners, but through Patreon, hopefully I'll be able to do that. So thank you again for listening. And here is Kathy Partak.
Welcome to the Teachable Soul Podcast. I am your host, Kat Daniels. And today with us, we have Kathy Partak. She is a serial entrepreneur, writer, and speaker. Kathy has a unique perspective on communication and a talent for connecting and engaging with her audiences. She is setting a new standard for how to speak with intention, specifically how to view conversations differently and communicate with confidence. Welcome, Kathy.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yes, absolutely. So before we get started and hear your whole story, I want to kind of set the mood for where we're going with this. So first of all, I just quit my job.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah, I just quit my job to do a podcast for free. and it was because I kind of came to a point where I was just so unhappy with where my life was. And I'm like, well, I just want to do something at this point that is going to make me happy. I am very fortunate to be able to do that because I'm married to a wonderful husband who makes enough that we can do that. So I'm not homeless and neither are my children, but it's still scary and, you know, a little less income and whatnot. So when you wrote into me, you actually said winners quit and quitters win. At the time when I was thinking about quitting my job, I hadn't yet decided. And I also have kind of a weird relationship with quitting anyways. I very much have always felt obligated to finish things and to see things through and to never, ever quit, because it like made you a dirty, dirty person if you ever quit.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of shame with quitting.
Oh man. Yeah. There so is. But, you know, I think under the right circumstances, quitting is totally okay. And I think that we need to bring some awareness to that.
Well, you just said it. You said you feel like you have to see things through. Mm-hmm. Well, to see something through means it comes to an end.
Yeah.
Things come to an end. Mm-hmm. And I think so many times, I know, people hang on because they feel like the end is quitting.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. Let's call it whatever we want, but things come to an end.
Yeah.
It runs its course.
It does.
And you need to go to the next thing.
Yeah. And sometimes it might run your course for you, but maybe not somebody else. And that doesn't mean that you're a bad person because it just ran its course for you.
Heavens no. And when you do actually quit, mm-hmm. if that's what it is, mm-hmm. you open the doors to the things that come in, that you're starting something new that makes you so much happier, that you're a better person in your everyday life. And that's really where my story goes and the things I discovered when we quit.
Yeah. So start there. So tell me what your story is and why you quit and how and where and all that.
Yes. So back in 2008, my son was 4. My husband and I went up to the snow. We live in Northern California, the Sierra Mountains. We both love to ski. Mm-hmm. And we took Mason up to the snow. And of course, we needed gloves for him. Well, little hands, gloves are a challenge. Anybody who's ever tried to put a glove on a child's hand knows that.
Right.
So we got mittens. Right? Mm-hmm. But for my son, a mitten was like a straight jacket on his hand. Right. His hand moved inside the mitten and he couldn't do anything. So he wouldn't wear them.
Right.
So my husband's trying to, you know, put gloves on him and he's just like, there's got to be a better way. You know, famous last words to all great ideas.
Yes.
And he said, why don't the back of these open? And I said, well, I'm sure they do. We just haven't looked, you know, I'm sure it exists. Yeah. So we went shopping and we did find gloves that opened in the back. They, you know, all kinds of different designs. Mm-hmm. But most of them used Velcro and the hook and loop would actually attract the snow and ice to it. And it would attach like the, you know, the loop does of the glove. Mm-hmm. So I went in my kitchen table and I took a glove and I cut the back open and I hand stitched a zipper into it to see, would this work? Would a zipper make the turn? Because it basically, if you look at the back of your hand from your wrist, if you go straight up towards your forefinger, and when you get to that knuckle, you make a left turn and go to your pinky finger knuckle. That's how the zipper opened on these gloves and the whole back opened. Mm-hmm. Well, I started doing a whole bunch of research. And what I discovered with our gloves is that children's hands are different than adult hands. They're not just smaller. So if you look at the palm of your hand from your thumb where your joint is to your forefinger knuckle, most adults are 1.25 inches to about 1.5 inches, give or take. Kids, on the other hand, are less than 1 inch. So when your hand is closed, like your thumb is up against your hand, the top of your thumb typically sits at your forefinger knuckle. Again, give or take a little bit. But little ones, their thumb is up midway through their finger. So that space in the hand doesn't grow until they're like 11 or 12 years old when those bones start to fill in.
Ah.
So we thought, oh my gosh, this is why gloves don't fit little hands. When your child gets their thumb in, it stops. And so you think they're just not getting their fingers in the holes, but they can't go anymore.
Right.
And we're like, oh my God, how come nobody's figured this out? So that's the backstory. So you understand, we thought this is a slam dunk. We can produce these gloves. We're going to be millionaires. This is going to be so awesome. We're willing to do the work.
Right.
I actually found a manufacturer in Wisconsin who made my prototypes, produced the gloves, totally got on board and did everything for us for free. That's huge. I mean, most people who bring a product to market, they drain their savings accounts, they borrow money from friends and family, and they hope.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
So we thought these were all the signs that this was going to be great.
Right.
So we moved forward, and basically the manufacturer said, let's put a time frame on this. And it was the best thing we ever did. He said, let's give it 3 years, and let's see where we are. Let's all be making money in three years. I worked my butt off. I worked tirelessly. I worked day. I worked night. We begged, borrowed, and stole to go to trade shows, to get in front of people. I mean, I got an education that you just wouldn't believe. In fact, I don't think you could buy this education except with your savings and hours in a day. So fast forward. I'm working hard. Gloves are on store shelves. That only took a year. I kept thinking, wow, you know, people talk about how hard this is. This really hasn't been that hard. I mean, it's been a lot of work, but boy, it's just going.
Yeah.
We weren't making money. We were making enough money to keep putting it back in. And we hear that all the time. You got to keep reinvesting. You got to keep putting money back in. So we're starting to get to that 3 year mark. And what's happening is we met with every big sports retailer that was in existence then. And they all said the same thing. People will buy what we have. We don't need this. Yeah, we get it. It's great. You figured something out. That's cool. It doesn't matter. Kids lose gloves. And, you know, we don't need another product on our shelves.
Right.
Scheels was the only one that gave us a shot in one store here in California. And they ordered 300 pairs and they sold out in 2 weeks. And they ordered 300 more pairs. And they said, you know, we're on board for next year. Mm-hmm. And then they had a fire. So the whole gist of it is, I did all the things. I worked really hard. I invested myself. And now we're getting to this point where the real estate market's crashing. I actually did have another sales job at the time. All these things were going on. And I had to make a decision about this business. And I sat down with my husband and we cried and we felt all those things. Oh my God, we're going to quit and success is going to have been right around the corner.
Right.
We're going to quit one day too soon.
Mm-hmm.
We really didn't have a big choice. I probably could have gone back to the gentleman who produced our gloves and said, hey, let's give it a little more time. But I didn't. I honored the contract. I never saw this as my baby. I never got real personal about it, except that I really believed in it. And we quit. And here's what happened when we quit. I found out that my son is an amazing kid cook.
Awesome.
I got to go to bed with my husband again. Mm-hmm. We started having sex again. We took a family vacation, and we have taken a great family vacation every year since 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my life got so much better when I walked away from Zipperback Gloves and let it go. I mean, we drained all of our financial resources with the patent that never came.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to this day, people will tell me, oh, I can get that patent for you. Okay. How much will that cost me? Right.
Mm-hmm.
But my son, I bring up that he was a kid. He's a kid cook. He won Chop Junior when he was 11. Would I have even recognized that this kid wanted to cook if I had continued chasing this dream to just make money enough to put gas in my car?
Right.
To try to figure out, how do I make this next thing go? So I became the mom in my mompreneur groups who was the closer. I was the mom when we saw moms just, I mean, their lives are falling apart. They're not able to pay their mortgage. They owe all their friends and family money. Mm-hmm. These moms are exhausted because they're doing all the mom things and all the wife things. And then when everybody goes to bed, they're staying up all night doing the entrepreneur things.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
How many of you have all been there? Mm-hmm. So when people say, how do I know when to quit? My answer is, you know. You already know.
Yeah.
You already know if you should quit. Or you already know if you need to stay a little longer.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm sitting over here like, girl, preach.
It's one of those things that I it kills me. I see these memes, you know, on social media. Hang on one more day. Don't quit. And I'm like, you know, the frog hanging on the blades of grass. I'm like, dude, let go. The water's nice. You know, just drop. Because there's so much in your life probably that is really, really rich and wonderful. Mm-hmm. And opportunities are waiting for you because you've spent all this time in this whatever, wherever it is that you're like, ah, what should I do? Should I stay or should I go? All that education can now go somewhere else and maybe be really fruitful.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So I was raised by a single mom. Who was a nurse, and I always grew up when I was a kid believing that I was going to be super important and like CEO of this big giant company, and it was going to be great. And it didn't.
And it didn't. Those are epic words. And it didn't.
And it didn't. Yeah.
And it didn't.
And so, you know, when I. Now that I'm 31 and I have two kids and I have this wonderful family that I really want to spend more time with. That was one of the reasons I decided to quit is, you know, I really want to go to lunch with my kids. Like we're military. We were stationed in Korea, South Korea, for 2 years, and I could not work there. So there's the way that the contract is that the military has with the country is that the majority of the jobs on base have to go to the nationals that are over there.
and which makes sense. But if you don't have a bachelor's degree, they also cannot hire you off base, which they normally would be able to hire you off base as an English teacher. But I did not have my bachelor's degree yet at that time. So I could not work. So I volunteered at my son's school and I saw him all the time. And I remember how much he loved that. He would ask me to come and spend more time in his school all of the time. And he loved that I was so involved in the in just the one thing that he was doing on a daily basis.
Yeah.
You know, and even after we left there and I, you know, would I was working and stuff like that, I would usually make time to go to his school, like take days off when I worked in an actual organization, would take days off, you know, and then go to his school for lunch and bring him lunch or take him to lunch or something like that. And I haven't been able to do that in like a year.
And how did it feel when you would take days off?
Oh, amazing. I love spending time with my kids.
Right. But did you have any guilt or feelings about not being at work? In the sense that, I gotta take a day off. You know, I want to. Yes, I want to because I want to be with my children. But there's that sense of, you know, how many days can I do this?
Yeah. So at that time, because I worked in a really awesome organization, I did not have that.
Okay, great.
However, that came later.
I felt
that way. and that's so... And this is actually kind of a difficult thing. So the company that I quit just now, I love, and I love the owner, and I did not want to quit. I had so much guilt and felt so guilty for wanting to quit working for her and working for the company because I wanted to help them progress and succeed, but I personally was just suffering all the way around. And that was partially due to, you know, like my husband was deployed for 7 months of last year and my dad got sick and we had to take care of him and then he passed away. And I mean, there were other factors, but I was just, because of all those things, I have also gotten to a point where like working and I was working from home, which was part of the problem for me, because if I'm at home and working from home, I feel like all of my hours were supposed to have gone to working.
Right.
Because I'm at home. And so I should like, not all of my hours, but all of my hours that like the kids were at school. I'm like,
yeah.
I've got 6 hours that the kids are at school. I need to fill it with work because I can't do it or I don't want to do it. Like, I don't want to lose sleep over this. Da, 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 da. And so, you know, trying to ask for an hour or two off in the thick of working and trying to help build this company was what caused me guilt. I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to interrupt you just for a minute and thank you for your service.
Oh.
I'm also a military family. My husband just retired after 33 years.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. He started in the Navy and moved to the Army National Guard. And he was, an M-Day soldier for many years, just the, you know, 1 weekend a month, 2 weeks a year, yeah. Until he got deployed in 2003 when Mason was just born, 3 weeks old. And it was an 18-month deployment. And it's, you know, I look back, but I come from a long line of military. My father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, I mean, that's just our life. So I want to thank you for your service because you serve in a way that people, one, don't understand, and two, you don't get recognized nearly often enough. So I like to, you know, reach out to my military spouses and let them know I get it. And I so appreciate you, as do our troops. You know, they can't do what they do without us at home, whether they're married or not. Mm-hmm. You know, the people who keep the home fires burning, I mean, we support everybody who's deployed, not just our person.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your history of service.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. And it is hard. And I've actually been to South Korea and, you know, seen the country. We weren't deployed there. But you know, it's, there's so many things. And we haven't even scratched the surface of the differences because we're women.
Right.
Oh, and the way we feel and the way we feel about our responsibilities, you know. So anyway, I'm sorry that I interrupted.
Oh, no, you're totally fine. That was it. But back to your point about the differences of it. So one of the other things that I have a problem with my own self is I never when I envisioned being CEO of a company, that never once crossed my mind that I ever, ever, ever wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. I knew I wanted to have kids, but I wanted to go run my company too.
Yeah.
And so to me, I couldn't, like, literally being trying to be a stay-at-home mom left a bad taste in my mouth. Even the times when I was a stay-at-home mom, I filled my time with other things to do. Like when I would volunteer at my son's school, I was on the board of the PTO and planning literally everything outside of whatever the teachers were doing, which was like all of their holiday events, any fundraisers that we had, you know, things like that. And actually not just planning, but setting up and coordinating and doing all that.
What was it, do you think, that created in your mind that you are a CEO of a business versus a CEO of your life?
I don't know. It's a very good question. both my parents worked. My dad actually did own his own business for about 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And my mom, you know, was a nurse. She's been a nurse now. It's going on, I think it's actually going on 40 years for her now.
Wow.
Yeah. And I don't even recall having a friend that had a mom that was a stay-at-home mom.
I ask that question because my brain works to transform, to think about things differently when we have challenges, you know, when we have that sense of kind of not being able to get out of our own way. To think about it differently and that's why I purposefully said a CEO of a company versus the CEO of your own life or the CEO of your family, you know, because it's, you clearly love that. I mean, I can't see you, but I felt you light up when you talked about being at school with your son.
Oh yeah.
So that is truly, you know, your happy place. And, and for me too, with Mason, I just decided, especially when I realized we weren't going to be able to have more kids, that I wasn't going to miss a minute of it, not one minute. And I created my life and my business so that I could make money and still go to school, go on field trips, you know, help out, plan the things, you know, be on the parent teacher boards. So it's just thinking about it differently, thinking about success differently, thinking about how we make our living differently. And here you are, Kat, you're doing it because you're working on creating the life you love, a life that will make you income and you can still be there with your family. I mean, that's the epitome of success to me.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. Yeah. My ideal, like everything would be if I could just work between 2 and 4 days a week at the very most. And even only do that while my kids are in school so that at least one day a week I can spend it just solely devoted to like their household or their school stuff and their well-being. But I want to be able to make my own schedule. Because like, for instance, tomorrow they have a day off randomly, but they're going back to school on Friday. And so, you know, I want to be able to hang out with them here at the house and do stuff with them because they're going to be here anyway. I don't want to have to work or ignore them while I'm, you know, because I feel like when I work and they're here, I'm ignoring them and that causes guilt. And I don't like that feeling either.
Well, it's about balance. And I go through some of that with my family as well. My income earning life is I'm a real estate agent. And so I do have to take phone calls, but I also set my own schedule. I can choose to answer the phone or not. Right. Sometimes I do have to walk away from what we're doing, but I think that that teaches our kids about responsibility and about how we can create those lives that we want. Hey, give me just a second. I need to go send this email. I'll be right back. Yeah. You know, kind of thing. And then, but then come right back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
and I do
real,
that too.
Yeah, yeah, come right back. Because if you don't, then they get into this whole thing where you say you just have to send that email and you've been gone for 2 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have to keep that balance going.
Keep your word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But back to quitting, are you really quitting or are you transitioning? Are you stopping and starting versus the stigma mm-hmm. of you're a quitter mm-hmm. and you didn't see this through? Sure, I did. I saw it through to all my money, to all, 3 years of my family life. Mm-hmm. I spent a lot seeing this through to now knowing that here we are.
Yeah.
Now we're going to start something new and it may come to an end.
Right. And that's okay.
And that's okay because something new will start.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you're back to your job. You know, mm-hmm. can you work with her in a capacity that's not a traditional W-2 capacity?
Yeah, absolutely. So I wasn't anyway. I was actually technically like an I-9 contractor or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But when I called her and I told her, I was like, I tried to find somebody, to take my place. Basically, I called a friend who I know is in need of a job. And I was like, and I tried to find somebody to take my place because I feel really bad and I don't want to kind of like leave you out in the cold and da 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 da. And she was so sweet and kind. And she was like, why would you feel bad? Like, everybody goes through this. You don't have to feel bad. And I was like, oh, okay, thanks.
Relief.
But yeah. I was just talking to somebody earlier today also about, saying no or when enough is enough for you, and building this idea in your head of how you think it's going to be and being so anxious and worried and spending valuable time worrying basically about those things when you don't need to, because it's all going to be okay anyway,
Well, and you make a very good point. And that's another area that is really my specialty, is around tough conversations. Mm-hmm. But it's not just around tough conversations. We create these narratives based on our lenses, like how we see life and our experiences about how things are going to go. Mm-hmm. And you just described it perfectly. How many hours or days do we spend angsting mm-hmm. and wringing our hands and our stomach in a knot, yeah. anticipating all the different ways it can go bad?
Right.
And you just truly don't know until you get there.
Oh, absolutely.
Until you start to talk and present whatever it is and listen right. to the other person respond. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, the other person may respond in a way that one of those worst nightmares comes true. That could happen.
Yeah.
But it also could happen a million other ways mm-hmm. that it's not bad.
Yeah.
Just like you just described. Why would you feel that way? Everybody goes through this. It's totally okay. And you're like, mm-hmm. oh my God, how many days did you just lose sleep?
Yeah. I told her that I needed to spend 2 weeks off of work and not do anything really. Because like I said, I had been through, mm-hmm. passing away and being sick and my husband being deployed, and like 2019 was not my year. And so I was like, I haven't really had a minute to like breathe or take a break or anything. So I'm going to take this 2 weeks and just think. And I spent at least 10 of those 14 days terrified that I was letting her down.
Right. That pressure that you put on yourself mm-hmm. is so not necessary.
Oh, absolutely not.
And the words that I use that I have found very helpful with my clients and my friends and even my family is, we have to have an adult conversation.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing about this conversation that is, horrible. Certainly, we all have times in life we have to apologize. We've made a bad choice or we've done something wrong. And, you have to show up with your hat in your hand. And in that case, you probably should feel bad. That's remorse and that's natural. Mm-hmm. But there are other, probably 85% of every other conversation is truly just an adult conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's something where two adults come together and we say, here's the thing, here's the issue, here's my dilemma. How can we work together? Or this is what I need. Yeah. I need to not be at work right now.
Right.
you know, how can I make this transition such that it doesn't put you in a very big pickle, which you were already doing. You were already trying to replace yourself, which is so admirable.
Thanks.
Yeah. But that's, you know, that's what you do when you care.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It is. Yeah. And another aspect of that is it's, I think it's important to note that if someone does blow up on you because of those things, that it has far more to do with them than it does.
Yes. Yes.
You know, that's something that I've had to learn, and that, you know, people are responsible. If you're an adult, you're responsible for your own emotions, and how someone else reacts to you doesn't have anything to do with you. It has everything to do with them and how they were raised or what they think or their biases or whatever the case may be, but it's not you.
Yeah, but it sucks when you're in that situation and you're having to handle that, you know, to keep calm and say, why does this upset you so badly?
Yeah.
What about this is so terrible? Yeah. You know, and I always go to limbs, and my family laughs because you're probably going to say, you go to what?
Right. Limbs. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yes, I go to limbs, and my best friend of 40 years will tell you if I say, she says, how are you today? And I say, well, I have all my limbs. And she'll be like, oh, it's that kind of day, huh?
Ah,
for arms and legs. Gotcha. Right. You know, it's just perspective.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, and I see people in these great stories of people who don't have their limbs and they're doing more than I do in a day. And I'm like, okay, Kathy, no more pity party here, you know, pull it together.
Yeah, exactly.
So. So the other thing, you know, about quitting and that whole stigma, I have a client who closed a business here in our little town. They bought a building that had been just in bad shape and they rehabbed it beautifully. I mean, they put a lot of money into it, opened a great restaurant. And like so many businesses, they did all this, all the hype, all the excitement, the Chamber of Commerce, all the people, right? Mm-hmm. And they're working. 3 years goes by, 4 years goes by. And I sat down with this friend and I said, so tell me, you know, how is it? Is it everything that you guys dreamed? And she said, it's the biggest nightmare ever. This has been so hard. She said, we are so broke. The restaurant's not making money. It's, you know, it's killing us. And I was like, why are you still doing it? And she said, well, we can't quit. And I was like, why not? Why can't you quit? And she said, well, because what will everybody think?
Mm.
And I'm like, who cares?
Right?
Who cares what everybody thinks? And it goes back to that old adage of you wouldn't worry about how much people think about you if you realized how little they did.
Right? Exactly.
And I sat down with her and her husband. I had helped them with something previous. And I said, you know, I'm not really anybody. Like, I'm not a therapist. I'm not anybody with any kind of credential to say this to you, but you can quit.
Yeah.
You both have degrees. You both have amazing skill sets to do 100 other things.
Mm-hmm.
And this town, people are going to be sad. They're going to be sad that the restaurant closes, but they'll be sad for a minute.
Yeah.
And then somebody else will come in and do something in that building.
Yeah.
But what are you sacrificing? Not only financially, but with your girls, with your family life, what are you sacrificing?
Mm-hmm.
I said, so, you know, that's my 2 cents. If it helps to just have somebody tell you, it's okay.
Yeah.
And a few months later, they closed the business and they're thriving in other ways. But I think that's the real message is it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Mm-hmm. You know, certainly you have to work with your family. You have to make things work. But I find that there is so much power in making a decision and taking the action.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you do that, things start to happen. The universe responds, or however your spiritual belief system works.
Right.
Responses come when you commit to something, whether it's committing to quitting, committing to wrapping something up, committing to starting something new. It starts to come together when you take that action.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
As you were saying.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened, because during that 2 weeks that I took off, you know, things were happening, like things were just falling into place for like this podcast to work and happen. And I'm like, and then like the conversations I was having, you know, were surrounding basically, well, you need to do what you need to do for you and your happiness matters. like almost the most. Not most, obviously, but it kind of does, because if you're happy, then you can help others be.
That's
happy.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a better mom. You're a better wife. Exactly. You're a better member of the community. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know, we hear it again and again, but just because we hear it and we know it, we forget, because we fall into the doing for others, the being for others, mm-hmm. the taking care of. And mm-hmm. I think my experience has been that is far more a woman's nature than a man's. Yeah. Even we laugh, my girlfriends and I laugh when we talk about men versus women. And I trust me, I love men. I love my husband. Happy.
Yes, but yes.
Have you ever heard a woman call in sick to a corporate job versus a man?
Right.
I mean, I'll call, oh my God, I've been up since 6 o'clock in the morning. You know, I've been throwing up. I've had diarrhea. I don't know. You know, I know I'm supposed to be there at 7, but I'll do my best. I'm going to go back to sleep for one more hour and see if I can sleep. And my husband's like, just call in sick. I'm not coming to work. I'm sick.
Yeah.
But we agonize over it, you know? So we care. And it's because we care.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember one time, so I worked for an animal hospital at one time, which comes with a lot of, guilt and responsibility that you feel towards everybody there, because I mean, they're animals and they're helpless and you need to be there to help them and, you know, stuff that I totally created all on my own. But, I got like bronchitis. Like I was infected. I could not function very well at all. And I actually went to work like that, extremely sick and not able to function like that. The first day that happened, I realized while I was at work that I was not doing anybody good anyway, because I wasn't being very much help anyway, and because I couldn't move very quickly, and because I couldn't do certain things because I legitimately was sick. I was more in the way, you know?
Yeah. So
the next day I got somebody but I called and made sure that I would have somebody first to take my spot for my shift the next day before I was like, okay, I'm calling in sick.
That's nice that you can do that.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I still love them. They run their organization so well. It's an animal hospital, that they kind of work like partners, but they also run their business like a corporation. But they're still very small. They only have like 6 doctors that are all partners in the business together. So it works out really great for them. They can actually just work like 3 or 4 days a week, you know, and do it. And they're all friends, and they're still a really great organization.
so they work together to create a life that really works for them. So Kat, what you've now quit.
Yeah.
Right. So now you've quit and now you've got all these other possibilities. Just since you made that decision, what's happened? Like what's changed, or what have you been able to create?
So a few things. I am so much happier, first of all. I can do whatever I want, whenever I want. If I need to cancel a meeting or a recording or whatever, I am able to do that. And that probably alone makes me 10 times happier than even making money. But you know, the other thing is that I never really considered myself, I knew I wasn't a terribly analytical person, but I never really considered myself to be a creative person. Per se, like I don't paint. I like to color with my daughter, you know, sometimes, but, and I have like, now that there's adult coloring books, I love books. But I never really created on my own of my own thoughts, basically. And so when I created this podcast, it was something that I created on my own from my own thoughts, and something that I wanted to do just because I thought it would make me happy, because I love talking to people, and I so much appreciate other people's experiences. And, you know, there's so many people out there who are seeking mentors and, you know, things like that. Like there's a need to learn from other people's experiences so that we don't have to make the mistakes ourselves all of the time. It is awesome to make mistakes yourself and learn for yourself, but it's
I think it's even better if you can learn from somebody else's mistake before you make the mistake and correct as you take action. You know what I mean?
Oh, I do know what you mean. The question is, can you hear them? Yeah, because you can. It's when we can learn from others. And I think certainly at a point in our lives where we're, you know, midway through our 20s, definitely into our 30s. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, for me, I'm in my 50s. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You tune in a different way. And it's the old adage that I tell my son who's 16 now, you know, you better go make your millions while you know everything.
Yeah.
Seriously, get to it because you're running out of time.
Yeah.
Son. The older you get, the more you tune in, the mm-hmm. more you listen to a story that it doesn't seem that it has anything to do with you or an experience that might come your way. But mm-hmm. as you get older, you're like, I'm going to listen anyway because I might need to know that, mm-hmm. you know? And it's a different thing, but you can't make people get it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, you certainly should share as it's appropriate.
Yeah.
But then hope, you know, I love it when my girlfriends come back and go, didn't we have a conversation about, you know, such and such? And mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah. Like, oh my God, somebody just told me about this and it seemed familiar.
Right.
Yeah, we did. We talked about that 2 years ago, you know.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. For kids, I think it is important. Like for instance, with my kids, so my son is 13 now and my daughter is 6. And, you know, I just think it's important as, I think going forward, it's going to be even more important. But I think for now, it's also very important that kids kind of learn for themselves and make mistakes for themselves. Because when you're a kid, the consequences of your actions are generally very, very minuscule to compared to when you're an adult. You know,
yes.
Your kid wants to go, if your child who is, you know, a minor wants to go and start a nonprofit or a business, like, please let them, even if it's the most horrible idea in the world, please let them. Like if it's, you know, if it's the most horrible idea in the world and you don't have any money, but they have the drive and the want to do it, go ahead. Because I mean, they're a kid. They technically can't really have a business anyways, but they can sure try and they can sure have the, like get that experience, you know, which I mean, what you said earlier about, you know, starting your own business is that's not an education that you can ever buy without experiencing yourself. It's just not.
Oh, it's incredible. And you know, my people have said to me, wow, you know, you lost everything. And I said, well, we lost money. Excuse me. We lost money for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, people pay for an education and then they go and they work in a completely different field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got an education that, okay, so 65,000, 100,000, whatever. It was crazy. The things I learned and funny, like with gloves, we had, our gloves were black and right. each size had a different color. Like little edging. So mm-hmm. we could tell, you know, red was large, blue was small, whatever.
Oh yeah.
And so I would take them to sell and people would say, well, do these come in colors? And I would say, no, you know, we're just getting this thing up and running. And so they're like, well, you know, well, when you have colors, come back. So I went back to the manufacturer and I said, well, what would it take to do these in colors? And he said, well, you know, we really need to have the sales bigger, but Kathy, here's the thing. Color sells black. And I'm like, what? And he goes, color sells black.
Yeah.
So the next year we did red and blue
mm-hmm.
and everybody bought black. Not everybody, but darn near everybody. So, you know, you look at an education and is that something that they teach in school that color sells black? I'll never forget that. I was like, what? Color? What? No, people want colors and prints. And he's like, they really don't. They just want the option to have them.
They just want to feel like their wants and needs are important. And then they're going to buy the black ones because that's what's realistic because they're going to get dirty anyway. And the black hides all the dirt.
That's just a funny thing. So the education is there. And, you know, the whole talking about when I quit Zipperback Gloves and I plugged into Mason is my son. Through and through. He is an entrepreneurial kid. And mm-hmm. I loved that you brought that up about, you know, if your kid wants to start a nonprofit, let them. Mm-hmm. Because the fact of the matter is they will learn by doing and they will do because it is their idea. Right. And when it's their idea, instead of you saying, hey, I have this great idea, you could make money if you did this. Mm-hmm. Well, they might want to do that, and they certainly want to make money, but mm-hmm. they're not going to be nearly as excited about it because it's your suggestion versus their suggestion. Oh, yeah. And, you know, Mason raised over $26,000 from the end of third grade through fifth grade to mm-hmm. improve his school kitchen. Mm. And, you know, when he said to me, you know, he brought me, he said, Mom, they're not cooking in here. You know, they take our lunches out of boxes. And I'm like, what do you mean? It was an old school. It closed when it turned 100 and it was closed for 3 years. And then they reopened it as a charter school and they had dismantled the old kitchen. So they were bringing lunches from the local middle school. They were making them in that kitchen and then bringing them over for the kids. And he's a kid cook. And he was like, why aren't they cooking? We should right. be having a hot lunch. So I said, well, you know, Mason, the stove in a commercial kitchen isn't the same yeah. as the stove at home. And he said, well, I know, but still, can't we still buy one? And you do, you stand there as a parent and you go, it's like a warp speed, like your life passing before your eyes, you know, okay, where is this going to go? What's this going to mean? And I'm like, well, yeah, if you're willing to do it, if you're willing to do the work, which this whole process with him back to do winners quit was you have to see it through. Mm-hmm. If I start this with you, mm-hmm. we have to see it through
yep.
because people are going to get on board to help you and they're going to donate money. However we manage that, mm-hmm. you have to see it through. And he said, I will, Mom. And he did. And he raised $26,000. They actually hired a lunch lady at the school. So he created a job.
Right.
They wow. didn't remodel the whole kitchen, but they brought in like a pub oven so mm-hmm. that they could do hot food. Mm-hmm. And they created a culinary sciences lab at the oh. elementary school. So kids are learning to cook.
Oh, and that's hardware. Awesome.
So we did see it through. And there were times when we had to go stand out in the rain mm-hmm. to sell tickets to an event that we were the beneficiary of. Right. We got involved with a local event that asked if we would come and man the gates because their usual people didn't want to do it anymore.
Right.
And, you know, they're like, we need probably 73 people, depending on what I'm like, oh my God, how are we going to do this? We have like 4 days, but we did. And now, so that was in 2012, 13 ish, right around there. Mm-hmm. And here we are, the school is still doing that. And this year, the event donated $18,000 back to the school because they make a percentage of the ticket sales on the event.
Nice.
So he did a lot of good things through the idea that you have to see this through.
Yeah.
So I think when people say, you know, quitters never win and winners never quit, mm-hmm. I think that really means you're not a quitter, but if you don't see it through, you don't take it to the finish line. Mm-hmm. Now, there are many things you can determine what the finish line is.
Right.
There are other things that have a very specific, this has to happen for us to be able to walk away. Mm-hmm. And with the kitchen project, what had to happen was the kitchen had to have the stove. In this case, we also got more because they didn't think they were going to be able to do the stove. So they went to the culinary sciences lab to kind of bring home ec into the school. Mm-hmm. And then they found a way to bring the stove element in. So that was a big bonus. And I asked Mason, I said, so how do you want to be remembered at the school? Like what do you want when we do the ribbon cutting and we open the culinary sciences lab? And he says, I think it would be cool to have a plaque. And I started laughing and I told the school administrators, I said, yeah, he wants a plaque. And they're like, that's all?
Right.
I go, well, yeah. They're like, okay, we'll put his picture on it. So his picture on a plaque in the culinary sciences lab hangs in there. That's just so funny.
Well, that's so awesome.
So yeah, it's not quitting. It's, you know, it's seeing it through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And seeing it through doesn't always necessarily mean that you have to see it all the way through just for you.
And what is, exactly. What is see it all the way through? Like, do it till you die.
Right? No.
You don't have to do that.
No. Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to take this to this point right here. I mean, even with the gloves, you know, we had to wrap up. How do we handle the inventory? You know, who gets what? What's going to happen? And we did all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we wrapped it up and we kind of reset the bank account and went out and started making more money. And I mean, our life just, it really got good in so many different ways with my son, with my husband, with our family life and vacations. Mm-hmm. We moved and bought a new house. I mean, we have a boat. We spend a lot of time on the lake now because, you know, I'm not staying up all night sending emails and looking at spreadsheets and figuring out how to pay the mortgage.
Right.
Which is really the other thing. I see people all the time and they'll say, I just don't know what to do. I've got so much invested. That's the other thing we do is we get pot stuck.
Yeah.
We feel like, oh, I've got so much in this. I can't walk away now.
Right.
Okay. Well, you've got so much in it. Why are you putting more?
Yeah.
It's not paying you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always about money, but you know what? A lot of times
it's a factor.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we need to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not happening, it's not, you know, it's time to reevaluate that. And that's just good business. Mm-hmm. I look at Oprah with OWN, you know, she's a billionaire. Mm-hmm. She started this amazing network.
Right.
And it wasn't working. She laid off half the people. And she scaled down and she went back to the drawing board and said, how do we make this work? I want it to work.
Yeah.
You know, she'll tell you she felt like she failed.
Mm-hmm.
I would say she learned.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, I think if we think differently about the word quit and the idea of quitting, you know, I don't tell Mason, you know, you can't quit. I tell him, you have to see it through. People are counting on you.
Yeah.
You know, it's important that you finish what you start. And if you want to finish early, find a way to do that that works.
Yeah. And that's the key. Yeah.
And you know,
it's about personal boundaries to some degree. You know when enough is enough for you. And do take your own feelings into consideration. And don't just think that the only thing that matters is you know, the investment that you've made and you're so far in, or, you know, what other people think of you, because that's not true even. That's not the only thing that matters. And if you're not happy, you can't run the business as well as somebody who was happy doing it would. Or
yeah.
Can't, you know, run your household even as well as someone who is happy would.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what it came down to for me.
Well, and like I said, and I think you'll agree now that you're on the other side, you knew.
Yeah.
You knew. You didn't need me to say, you know, yeah, you can quit.
Right.
I mean, some people do need that. They do need to hear it's okay.
Right.
You know, just like with my neighbors when I said, you know, you can close the restaurant.
Right, exactly.
Nobody's going to think anything except that we're going to be sad that your great food is gone.
Right.
And they'll get over it. You know, they've got their own fish to fry and their life to live, and they don't need to do this.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Well, you're surrounded by a lot of cooks. You must eat well.
Well, we are foodies for sure. And we do cook. It's an interesting thing. My family, my grandfather was a cook in the army.
Oh.
Yeah. Which is so funny. I didn't realize that until Mason started cooking. But we do, we all love to cook and we all love to eat, but it's been a fun journey with him as a kid cook. He's, you know, like I said, he won Chop Junior and he's done Guy's Grocery Games and he's got to travel with this skill set.
Right.
So that's been really fun. And that came again out of, you know, me being present, saying yes, when he said, can I do this?
Yeah.
You know, I would say, you know, what does that look like? My mom always said, we can't afford it. You know, we're not those people. And I have done a lot of work to think about those things differently. I know why she said it. I get it. But that's not my life. So I don't ever tell Mason, no, we can't afford it. Even when we can't, I say, well, how can you make it happen?
Yeah, same.
You know, how can you do that? What can we do together? You mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. because right now I don't have the cash flow.
Right.
And that's sort of been my go-to. So I try not to say no. I try, but there are times like when he wants to spend the night at his, not girlfriend, like romantic girlfriend, but his female friend's house.
Right.
And I have to say no. Yeah, you're the meanest mom ever.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I know. It's okay.
mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 My son, he went to, so we actually paid for him last summer to go on this trip. It's called EF Tours. I'm not sure. Education First Tours. There we go. but they went on this amazing trip and it was very expensive. But he wanted to go. So they're, of course they're, you know, this year they're doing more trips. Which is phenomenal. And I personally love traveling. I am in my zone when I am traveling. he wanted, and I told him last year when we paid for this at the time, I said, hey, like number one, the trip was a trip for 2 weeks and it went through 4 different countries over in Europe.
Wow.
And yeah, I was like, that's a lot. Like you have officially been to more countries than I have ever been in my whole life. And you're only going to be 12 at this time. So you win. You win. But I said, you know, next year, I'm not going to be able to pay for this. And so this year, whenever he was like, they're going to Peru, I kind of want to go to Peru. And I'm like, I feel you. I want to go to Peru. But if you want this, you're going to have to pay for it. Like you're going to have to make money and figure out how to do this. I said, I will do absolutely everything in my power to help you make the money. If you need a ride to go mow somebody's lawn, or if you want to do a fundraiser and it like have a bake sale, I will help you bake all the things. I will help you in any way I can, but I can't pay for the whole thing.
Did he make the money?
Unfortunately, no. He was very discouraged because the deal was you had to pay for the trip up front. And so he didn't have 7 months to make the money. He was only going to have like 2 weeks to make the money.
Got it.
Yeah. And I really don't think I can make, cause it was like $5,000. It was like, I don't think I can make like $5,000 in 2 weeks. And I'm like, you're probably not wrong.
Well, part of the whole journey of, you know, the kid cook thing, the raising the money for the school kitchen, has led into Mason becoming quite an entrepreneurial kid. And mm-hmm. he actually started an entrepreneur club in his middle school. And it ran for his 7th and 8th grades. I helped him facilitate that. But we have put together a book for young entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And it's different in that it's really a 3-part thing. It's not finished yet. But the first part is to parents about saying yes, about seeing things through, about, you know, empowering your kids to find the things they love to do, and then different ways they can monetize that.
Yeah, exactly.
The second part is for kids, and it's sort of taking the business world and putting it in simpler language, mm-hmm. Making it like, okay, these are things that have to happen when you start a business. Because you're a kid, it's going to be a little different. Here's mm-hmm. how it's different. And then the third part is what they created in the Entrepreneur Club called One Sheets. And these One Sheets are, we put together these pages of different businesses that these kids could start. And so they had to create them based on their interests. But mm-hmm. the One Sheet has the name of the business, a list of basic materials, the bare minimum that you need to start, right. approximately what that costs, mm-hmm. And then sort of a description of this is what this would take. If you have a YouTube link to a great video, or you want to make a video, mm-hmm. to show somebody a tutorial how to do it. Mm-hmm. And then the bottom part is, you know, sort of what happened. How did it work for you if they did it? Some of them were just ideas and they didn't actually put them into action. Right. But, you know, it was really interesting when you take out the bake sale, the dog walking, the mowing the lawn, the babysitting, mm-hmm. What these kids came up with. And so, you know, Mason is supposed to be helping me put this together, but he's since lost interest until he needs to make money. Then right. he'll go, hey, where's that entrepreneur folder?
Right. Yeah. That's
you know,
exciting. If
yeah.
you guys have like a digital copy or anything, I kind of want it. I just want to
I'll tell you what, let's do this because this might just be the impetus I need to pick it back up and to, you know, put it together, because every time I start working on it, I get distracted or somebody wants to buy a house, and don't get me wrong, I love what I do, but I get pulled away from it because it's a side thing, but it is really, it's an awesome thing. And kids are amazing in business. And I told the Entrepreneur Club, our slogan was, people will buy from you and do business with you simply because you are a kid.
Oh yeah.
And so you need to capitalize on that, because pretty soon you're all just going to be adults and you're just going to be one more person competing.
Yep.
You know, so learn what you can learn, do it now. And you know, it's amazing. The parents just don't know. They don't know how to help their kids. They don't know what to do or what direction to take them in. So,
And for me, like one of the things, so because my son is 13 right now, I want him to do things like that. Like even if it's just, you know, provide a service for free or something like that, because I want him to do things and explore things that he might or might not like right now as a kid, versus waiting until he goes off to college, picks the one degree that he plans on sticking with, you know, and is going to then feel obligated to see through, quote unquote, all the way. And I don't want, you know, I don't want him to do that. I don't want any kid to do that. I don't want you to go to college and pick a degree that you may or may not be unhappy with for 10 years of your life, and then realize that you wasted all that time learning that skill or learning that whatever that you're completely unhappy in, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's no fun for anybody.
No. And
you like me and go through a midlife crisis at 30 and, you know, try to figure it out yourself.
Well, Kat, you're early. Midlife, you're because you're going to live past 60, you know, 65. So you're ahead of the game, sister.
Yeah, right. Quarter life crisis is what my brother called it.
There you go. Well, I would say kind of the takeaways from, you know, it's okay to quit, you know, see whatever it is through to the point of completion.
Right.
That doesn't have to be forever. It, you know, something can be done and finished, and you can do something new, you know, keeping your commitments are important. So whatever that is, be responsible, you know, do what you need to do for you.
Yep.
You are not your best you if you're working around the clock and you're not doing the things you want to do with your family or your friends. Mm-hmm. You know, and things end. Yep. It's not really quitting.
Nah.
That's the thinking about it differently. It's not quitting. You know, things end. Yeah. I did find it interesting as I listened to your story and spent this time getting to know you. When you made the initial remark that you thought you would grow up and, you know, be a CEO and it was going to be great fun. You have.
Yeah.
You know, you just took the reins to be, you know, CEO of your life and your destiny, and you're empowering your kids, you know, to find ways to make a living doing something they love versus making a living doing a job.
Yeah. Well, thank you. That makes me feel that gives power to what I did somehow, I guess. I don't know, but thanks.
You're gonna see it. It's gonna come more and more. And you know, even if this particular project isn't everything you hope it will be, it's going to be this great stepping stone toward connections, like this kind of connection. We're going to talk again about the entrepreneur stuff. Right. You know, you're going to meet people and have new doors open, and you're going to be inspired in these other creative realms that you would never have known. So congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm very excited. I know that, like, I mean, doors have already, you know, begun to kind of creak open a little. And I'm like, oh, I can do that? I didn't know I could do that until I did this. And this, you know, and I think all the time now, I'm like, well, I would never have known. It's just opened my eyes. I would never have known that I could do these things without physically just going and throwing caution to the wind, if you will, and doing it.
Yeah, just start. I mean, it really is that simple, you know, just start. So, where are you on social media?
Everywhere. the podcast itself, of course, has a Twitter account, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. But I personally, prefer LinkedIn and Facebook because apparently I'm old. Apparently, for Twitter and Instagram. So yeah, there we are.
Okay, so do you share that stuff at the end of your podcast? You know, find me here, follow me there.
I intend on creating like an outro type thing that provides that information. So yeah,
gotcha.
What about you? Do you have something you'd like to share and let people get in contact with you if they want the entrepreneur thing that you're now going to finish, or maybe
now I'm committed. I'm committed to have a new beginning, middle, and end to something. No, it's already beginning. Yes, I am on Instagram as Kathy Partak.
Okay.
And on Facebook, I have Intentional Winning in Life, which is my blog, is also Intentional Winning in Life. My website's coming. It's up, but my domain has got a glitch. It's not dropping the WordPress. So that's just kathypartak.com. So yeah, I would love to connect on social media, and I love to speak and share on, you know, that it's okay to quit. And having tough talks is another one about, you know, being able to not work yourself into an ulcer.
Yeah.
Before you have to have a conversation that you anticipate is going to not be easy.
Right.
So yeah, speaking and teaching workshops and teaching kids to get out there and make their way. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree. And now my dogs are barking.
Well, that's okay. I really enjoyed this time. Let's stay in touch. And I'll take a picture. I'll go pull the entrepreneur stuff out because you said, do you have a digital copy? No, it's all pieces of lined paper with not the one sheet. Some of the one sheets are done, but it's just notes with these kids talking about their businesses and what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. And I'm just writing frantically because it's a crazy wealth of knowledge in our middle school kids.
Yeah, as soon as you started talking about it, I was like, that is so exciting. Like, I want to see all the ideas, and that's such a good idea. Like, kids can totally start their own business, and they should. Like,
yeah. And middle school's hard because they can't drive.
Right.
You know, but if they can be responsible on the internet, there are so many things they can do. So there's I'll tell you this one, and you can look it up if you want to. But if your son is at all creative or design minded, there is a website called bonfire.com, and they are a sweatshirt, you know, company. And they started out fundraising. And so you would design a shirt, whether it's, you know, a school project or a team. And then everybody can go online with your link and buy the shirt. You set the price. So it shows you, if you sell this many, this is how much they cost you. You set the price so you know what you're creating for your revenue. And you send your link, people go on, they buy their shirt, they pay. There's nothing for the kid to do other than design it and promote it.
That's fantastic.
Bonfire does everything. And so they originally, you needed to sell 5 to have the campaign go. And once it closed. Well, now I think their minimum is lower, if I recall. And the campaign, it's kind of become like an Etsy store. So it can stay open. Right. So if you did something like we did to test it, we wanted to see, how do they pay you? Like, how long does it take? So we created a shirt that had the state of California, and then it had a little heart right where our town is. And so we put it out on, you know, our local Facebook pages, Chit Chat, and our town pages. And they sold, I want to say they sold 12. Right. And 3 days later, after the campaign closed, we had a check in the mail for $120 made out to the Entrepreneur Club.
Nice.
Yeah. And they didn't have to do anything. They didn't have to ship. They didn't have to package. They didn't have to collect money. Nothing.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. So those are the kinds of things that are in here that we've discovered as we spent 2 school years with the Entrepreneur Club.
Right. Yeah, that's super awesome. And that's a great resource to put in the entrepreneur book, you know.
Well, and that's the whole back part, the third section of the book will be these one sheets that these kids can go look through. Oh, I want to do this business. This is what I need. We actually had a contract because now we put some money in the club. Mm-hmm. So if the kids didn't have the $30 it took to buy the initial supplies, then they got a business loan from the Entrepreneur Club. And they had to sign the contract that once they started their business, they had to give this much money of their profit back to pay the loan back.
Right.
So that the next kid could borrow.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Such a cool thing that you guys did. I'm so proud of you guys.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And it's because I quit.
Right? Right.
It's because I quit. Yeah.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. So quitting is not a bad thing.
Not at all. Yeah, we definitely need to spread that more.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for having me. This has been
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you for coming. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Well,
talk again for sure.
Let's stay in touch. And do I have your email address?
You probably have my like work email address, but I'll find you on Facebook anyway. We'll
connect there. Yeah. Perfect.
All right.
Well, be sure to share and let me know when this is up, and I will share your podcast and let's grow it.
Wonderful. Thank you. Yes. About a week before it comes out, I will notify you. And I usually, what I do is on these social media pages that I have, I post like quotes from our session basically is kind of little teasers.
Uh-huh.
So those will go out each day before it actually releases. And then I'll send you the link as soon as it releases. And you can, you know, share it that way too.
Awesome.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you so much. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
You too, Kat. We'll talk soon.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.